Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
My name is Biz Markie, and I'm on the scene with Peter Rosenberg, Cypher, and Juan Epstein. Now, every time you hear me, you know we get down. Super educated master in stereo sound. So listen to the Biz Markie. Peace, everybody, in the place to be, to be, to be, to be.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good. No, 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 no.
Good.
Nut.
I love the fact that I'm going to try to make a very sad day happy. Okay. I love the fact that legends pass away and everyone goes, do one up about it. Please talk about the death of people. Thanks a lot. Wait. Thanks that that's what the fuck we are now.
Cypher, like Mr. C. King of the death mix. Oh. Which, by the way, I said that to Biz in the one ep with Biz.
I remember. Bro, first of all, hey, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Shout out to all the one ep fans I saw on the road. Shout out to the guy that came to the show in Tampa who's a huge one ep fan. I'm sorry I forgot your name in true one ep fashion.
He sounds like a great guy.
Great guy, great fan. He got very mad at us because we split the Pete Rock interview into a Patreon. And I go, are you a patron? He goes, I am now. He wasn't happy about it.
Billy June, was that effective, by the way, the Pete Rock Patreon?
Yes, it was.
Perfect.
See? Look at us. Thank you.
And your second episode was also very effective.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. We're trying to give you real stuff here. And glad. Okay, sorry. So you saw a guy in Tampa.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah. I saw a couple of YNAP fans throughout the week. I've been traveling for like 2.5 weeks. I was going somewhere. Oh, man. this is going to sound very weird. I see why you guys are fans. Because I listened to my first YNAP episode yesterday.
After I called you.
After you called me and told me to listen to the Biz episode, which is, I'm the one who sent you the Biz episode, so
correct.
I had it in my library.
Correct.
And I've never, the joke is I've never listened to a Juan Ep, and I listened to the whole Biz episode, and I was a fan. I was a fan. I was like, wow, this interview is really fucking dope, because, bro, we are just hip-hop, we're just friends.
Are you about to explain to us what Juan Ep is?
We're just all hip-hop friends.
Yeah.
Man, I shed a tear listening to that episode, man.
Bro,
that
me
guy
too.
Was the fucking best.
I also kind of forgot, to be honest with you, Syfe. I didn't remember the episode. So there were so many things that I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy we talked about this. Oh my God, I'm so happy we talked about that. But one thing I really took for granted was your guy's relationship and how much he referenced it during the interview.
I know. Because we're so fucking... we're so busy all the time thinking about the future and fucking
That's
success.
Us. Not everybody. That's us.
No, but a lot of people don't live in the now. That's why it's a fucking big movement of mental health and being present. I'm not present. I'm not, that interview made me realize I'm not present at all. At all.
Like, how much did you not remember till he said it? Like, what about the, when you said you used to go shopping at his house with DJ Riz?
I remember that little part because I said that on my Instagram, how Riz introduced me to him, and we used to go record shopping. But there was many more instances where I was with Biz, and he was showing me so much love in that interview.
Oh, my God. In the interview, he really treated you like, really like a friend.
Just a
friend. And then how ill was the part at the end when we were talking about who he stays in touch with, and he says to me, he's like, I call you, don't I?
Yeah.
And I said to my girl, I was like, I forgot Biz used to call me and leave me the same voicemail that I heard Jazzy Jeff write about where he calls people and goes, why don't you call me?
Yeah.
And I was like, I forgot he did that to me. And he said it in the interview. He goes, I call you, don't I? And I go, why do you call everyone? And then he says the realest shit in the world about, because you never know. So I always want to call and check in with people. Yo, man, that episode, I was incredible. I was so proud of it when I listened to it.
Put that episode on YouTube with a picture of Biz or something. But please put that up, man.
Yeah, actually, you could do that. You could do that right away, like literally today.
Yeah, just put it up the way it is. Put a picture or whatever the fuck you got to put. But man, that, woo.
Yeah, put the Juanette picture and put that up ASAP, man. That
really,
that interview,
really dope interview.
Glad we use the intro so often. Glad we use the intro he did for us so often too.
Bro, you literally say, "Hey, we want to start using intros drops," and we never did.
I think we did. I think that next season actually we started with little intros for a few.
Right.
And then fell off. Oh, can you believe it? We fell off. Sife, this is the best run of Juanep we've been on. Maybe better even than the first run. Not in terms of the product we're making. I'm not saying this is the best episodes. But what I'm saying is the consistency is the best it's ever been. Because even when we first started it, it was like, hey, what day can we do? Oh, let's try to find a day. And people don't remember because everyone reminisces on the past like it was perfect. But there were times we went a few weeks without an episode and then we popped back up.
Of course.
So we're trying, guys. But man, that episode.
I love how, like, even back then, I love how Juanep is so meta that we always talk about Juanep on Juanep. What is
always
this? What are we doing?
It's so
and
true.
And the fucking crazy shit of the episode with Biz. That, mind you, if you don't know what we're talking about, the last episode we just posted on Juanep is Life is an old, from the old podcast we used to do, which was just called Juan Epstein. Because I always forget, there's a lot of new listeners. So we posted a classic episode of us talking about, I don't even like saying interview because it's just some friends shooting the shit. And we asked a couple dope questions. Was the week after the Summer Jam incident.
I know. That was ill, too.
So, like, how ill is it thinking back now, how depressed we were, how we thought you were going to get fired, who knows what the hell was going to happen with the morning show, and then Uncle Biz comes in and soothes us, like, nah, hip-hop, baby. It's all about hip-hop.
It's an amazing... I was sitting there. Natalie was sitting there listening. We were just like, yo, this is... Yo, man, we were looking at each other at certain parts about how ill it was, and then when he did the whole thing about calling people because you never know, you know, I looked over at Natalie. She was a mess, and we were crying in the car. It was so ill. And then at the end, I tried to give the man his flowers, and Sife tells me to stop being a pussy. All right, so let's stop being super meta and talking about all that was. And let's jump into, we found out on Friday night while I was actually at SmackDown, Sife. It was WWE's first live event, and my trip that I went on here, because I'm working, as we're recording this on Sunday, I'm working later today at Money in the Bank. Natalie and I flew down Friday to go to SmackDown, the first show, in Houston.
Okay.
And then just fuck around and eat barbecue and Mexican all weekend and come to Dallas. And go to antique shops and vintage stores, of which, shit, yo, the vintage game in Houston, wow, they're intense. A lot of vintage stores in Houston.
I love everything you're saying.
Yeah, no, it's a great weekend. I know. I know. And by the way, what a perfect activity for listening to the one ep about Biz, who literally, basically, whatever they've done at the Universal Hip Hop Museum is amazing. And Biz basically has an entire second museum in his houses. So So I get the news Friday night, as literally as the show's starting, and I'm jumping up and down, acting like a fan, just trying to participate and enjoy this first WWE live show in a year and a half. I get the text that, you know, the TMZ link, just a friend rapper, Biz Markie, has passed away. And we knew, of course, it was coming, but bro.
Yeah, first of all, I saw your Instagram, and I thought, because you saw my Instagram post, right? Where I made the audience sing Just a Friend at the Comedy Cellar.
Oh, I didn't see that yet. What? I was driving around yesterday. I didn't see it yet. No.
Peter, you got, bro.
Hold on. How about go to your Instagram and send Billy June the link, and let's play it here.
Well, Billy June, just get the link.
Billy June, when you find the link, just tell us you have it.
Instagram, and I thought, I was like, oh, man, I just made the whole crowd at the Comedy Cellar sing Just a Friend, and I said, this is dedicated to Biz Markie. Then I thought you made, the way it looked, I thought you made the audience at WWE sing it. I thought that's what was about to happen. I was like, damn, he's about to outshine me again. But it was really just some wrestling shit.
He had 20,000 people on TV do it. Here we go. Let me. I didn't hear this yet.
And watch to the end. Put it to the end.
No, this is the sad part. This is the sad part of the show. I don't know if you heard, Ray, but the legendary rapper Biz Markie just passed away. Yeah, man. He had a lot of issues for a while. So I would like everybody to sing the most classic Biz Markie song ever created. Red, you know what I'm talking about.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's say rest in peace to the legendary Biz Markie. Here we go.
Do you know who Biz
Markie
is?
I have no idea.
Hold on now.
Wow.
True Biz fashion. Like, yes, this is a sad moment. And we're all, you know, I was almost in tears, and I was trying to keep, I was hosting a fucking comedy show at the time. And to end it with a joke like that, like, that's fucking Biz, bro. That's Biz. I have no idea.
that was really good. Also, the way it sounded was so. Bro, it's funny because listening to his description of Just a Friend was really ill to me. And don't get me wrong, like, I get a little frustrated, of course, naturally, because I'm Captain Backpack about, like, Just a Friend, Just a Friend, Just a Friend, Just a Friend. And I want to talk about, you know, Nobody Beats the Biz and Vapors, etc. But when you think, when I listen to the episode again, it made me realize not to feel that way. Because he wasn't some dude who was annoyed with his hit. No. He loves that hit.
Oh my God,
like,
loves it.
That hit not only was pretty life-changing for him, but also you could tell he took a lot of extra pride in it because that joint was all him.
Right.
That was all him.
Yeah.
Like when he said that once he found those drums, he knew whatever he did was going to be a hit if he used the drums the right way.
Which is not why it's a hit, Biz. But to him, drums are so important. You know what I mean?
But it is a big part of it when you think about it, though. It's like, I guess really it's if you used it the right way. Because like we said in the podcast, De La used it.
Yeah, a lot
they
of people
sped it up,
it.
Though.
Yeah.
He let it play out just the way it exists.
And hard, too. His drums were thumping.
Man, so like I there's no point in me being like, oh, why do you have to say Just a Friend? Nah, Just a Friend was his, that was it. I mean, in terms of from a global thing, that was the one. Now, for hip-hop, for the fans, I mean, I always talk about to this day, and actually, Billy June, pull this clip up. The clip Syfe sent this morning. It's let me tell you which one it is of the three.
The third one?
No, it's the second one. Cause what is this, Sife? Is this the Apollo?
I don't know. I jacked it off somebody else's Instagram. I think it's the Apollo.
And who is that on stage with him?
I don't know.
At first, I thought it was Chris Rock for a second with his voice. Chris Rock. But it looks like the Apollo, and it looks like it's the late 80s, maybe right around shortly after the record was out. Listen to this. Sounds like Chris Rock. Yo, Billy, you can stop it. Yo, the ill thing is, Sife, he's performing on one of those annoying, dubs or beat-a-pellas. No, you can still hear it has all the sound effects built into it. But that... You know, that song, I love that video because I haven't seen that many live performances of Nobody Beats the Biz during the prime era. And that song to me, Sife, when you're in any sort of party and someone plays that as part of an old school set, to me it's sort of it's a party changing, it's an energy changing kind of song.
Yeah, it's funny listening, like all his songs were like, it's so weird to have a catalog of music that reflects your personality so well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not even your musical personality or your musical talent, just your actual personality. Like, when you listen back to his records and then you meet him in person, it's like, yeah, it's the same guy. It's no question. You know what I mean?
So what happened? He was when he got into DJing, he said it was 91 he started DJing. Him and Flex got close. Why did he end up in Flip Squad?
I don't know. That was before I was there. I mean, what are you going to deny Biz being in? You know what I mean? Like, how could you deny him?
But I don't. You think he asked?
No.
You have no idea.
No.
He was on then, nothing but Flavor.
Back then, Cruz. They just kind of formed. You know what I mean? They were kind of like more organic back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not like now where it's like, okay, you got to be signed to my label and signed to my production company. Like, you kind of just a bunch of DJs who were hanging out, and then they were like, because the thing with Flip Squad is they were all managed by this woman named Jessica. So, like, if Jessica managed you, you were in this DJ crew. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. So I forgot about the Jess component of it.
Yeah.
So Jess managed Biz also. Right, so it could have been as simple as she started managing Biz and that's that.
Yeah, like Flip Squad was DJ Funkmaster Flex, DJ Riz, Enough, Doo-Wop, Mr. C, I think was in there for a bit. Frankie Cutlass, Biz Markie, Mark Ronson, yeah, it was all mixed up back then.
What does Jessica do now again?
I think she still does parties or events. I haven't spoke to her in a while.
That was a great point you just made about how Biz, his personality so came through, and then the guy you met really was that. And like, you know, we not to be meta again, but we tapped into it into that episode with him, though, about how close he is with people. Like, when you saw people pouring their heart out about him and the range of people it was, he really was, like, we throw around that term uncle. He really was that dude to, like, did you read A-Track's story by any chance?
No.
A-Track wrote an awesome story about the relationship they started. Right, so you have the A-Track kind of person who was a DJ phenom as a kid.
Yeah.
And I think the record that he used to win his first DMC, it was his Nobody Beats the Biz
right
routine, which he said, by the way, it was interesting in his story. He said that after Main Ingredient came out, he realized he needed to be scratching Biz Markie more. So he called the record store. He said, so picture me with my thick French-Canadian accent every week calling to ask, did you get the Biz Baptiste beats? I need Biz's Baptiste beats. So A-Track was calling. A-Track was calling the store every week to get Biz Baddest Beats. And then when he eventually got it, he just started cutting up all these Biz records, and he eventually wins the DMCs with his Nobody Beats the Biz routine. And then he ends up meeting Biz at 16 years old and going to shows with him. And then this friendship begins that lasted, you know, on and off forever, like it always does with Biz. And but then I saw a post from a guy that I follow who you may know from your DJing days in Connecticut. Who's, you know, he's not a world famous DJ, but he's a dope DJ. And in Connecticut, he brings people out and does dope shit. DJ Billy Bush. You know Billy Bush?
I do know Billy Bush, yeah.
And Billy Bush posted about their friendship and record shopping and all this, because Billy Bush is an ill 45 DJ, right?
Right.
And so he posted about their friendship and record shopping and how close they were. And I know it's real. I know that's Biz, it's anybody who has true love of the culture is in. Like anyone he meets who he feels their energy and like them, he just was in.
How do you get better at this though?
Which part?
Why do I have to keep being reminded to like hit these people up and maintain these friendships? Why is it so fucking hard? He did it effortlessly. In the podcast, he takes 2 or 3 phone calls.
True, but all he does is say, I'll call you right back.
But he answered.
He answered.
He answered, because I'm doing radio right now, I'll call you back. Like, okay, thank you. Like, you answered the phone. When you're busy right now, you are busy.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's
bro,
the real...
I curse too much. I'm sorry. I just saw, on 420, I was doing that cookies event in San Francisco with Burner. And I saw Styles P.
Love Styles P. Great.
Styles P gets off the elevator and sees me, gives me a big ass hug. Sife, I love you, bro. Call me. Let's hang out. Yes, Styles P, of course. Of course I'm going to call you. Never called. I mean, you can't. What more do I want? The guy's telling me he loves me. Call him. Misses me. Let's hang out. Because although I wouldn't say we're like best buds, we saw each other way more when I was more in my DJ era and on Hot 97. We saw each other enough to have a good relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the guy's literally inviting me, like, call me. Let's hang. Let's go get a meal. Or let's go do something. And I still haven't done it. What if, God forbid, I'm not even want to say it, but what if something happened to Styles P? I would feel like absolute shit. And then, like, Biz, we heard, like, I don't even really know what happened to Biz. Like, because there was one, I remember there was a group of Instagram postings of Biz Get Well.
Yep.
Which was how long ago? And I was like, oh.
December.
I'm mad. I'm mad. Everybody's looking for their Biz picture. Everybody's looking for their Biz picture. You know what I mean? And then recently, a couple weeks ago, there was a rumor that he died. So yeah. Then I see on Instagram, Big Daddy Kane saying, hey, stop following, you know, gossip. He's still alive. But then I was like, well, is he sick? Where is he? Why are people saying that? You know what I mean? Like, has he been sick since the last Instagram run of Get Well Soons?
Yeah, and I think the answer is yes, he was. He was always sick.
How sick was he? Was he in a coma? Could we have called him? Should we have called him?
I tried to reach out and ask some questions to people. I hit Marley a while ago. I tried to text Biz on July 25th.
No.
So I 2020.
Oh, 2020.
That's a year ago. I said, don't know if this is still you, Biz, but I'm sending you love and well wishes.
Random.
No, I think that was the first time I heard he might have not been doing good.
Oh, maybe because it was, you probably thought it was COVID or something.
Or maybe it and was that but that went green. And I know Biz is a blue, always was a blue text guy.
Yeah.
And I don't even like, I don't even know all the pictures where all of them are. It's another thing I hate about the cloud these days. Like, oh, the cloud has everything. I'm like, yeah, but my old shit, my iPhone from like 2012, 13, 14, that's just not up there.
And is it
labeled? I think I got to go find my old laptop, the one that I had Jay-Z sign. I think I got to find that laptop and see what pictures are on that. Because I don't think they went to the fucking cloud. Anyways, we are off in it.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, don't you know, stop making this about you. Just get your head out of your ass. I called people yesterday.
You got what I...
Yesterday, I reached out to a bunch of people. I reached out to Mr. C and Q-Tip and Jazzy Jeff and just different people who I knew were close with Biz to send them love. Because the thing is, everyone's close with Biz.
Yeah.
Everyone.
So you hit everybody.
Now I mean, I was just picking the people who I knew, who I thought, I know Q-Tip was super close to them. I knew Jeff and him were like incredibly close.
Really?
Yeah, they were super close. Syf, your number one Biz song of all time is?
There's no way I could do that. Sometimes it's make the music with your mouth. I mean, it's not the one. It's not what's the one you said earlier?
Nobody.
It's not Nobody Beats the Biz, which is crazy. And I do love Nobody Beats the Biz, but it's not that. It's not.
Do you think anybody outside? Do people outside New York know that Nobody Beats the Biz is a play on a commercial?
No, they don't. They have no idea.
They have no idea that there's a store in New York called Nobody Beats the Wiz that sold music and electronics.
No, it's just
and the commercials. And the commercials was that song with that tune.
Yeah,
it was. That was the jingle.
Nobody beats the Wiz. Nobody beats the Wiz. Pull that up, Billy June.
Yeah, Billy June. I was going to look for you. Nobody.
Yeah, nobody out of New York knows that. Or tri-state area. No.
I wonder if there are people listening right now who have been... Oh, here it is. Here you go, Billy June. Use this one. They've been fans of that song for 35 years.
What?
And we just said that, and they were like, wait, that was a commercial being used?
I mean, it was a very popular commercial in New York City. Like, the Wiz was...
It was ingrained.
Oh, the Wiz was... the store to go buy cassettes and whatever and CDs, however, I guess, eventually. Nobody beats the Wiz on the Sharp VHS VCR with Wireless. Nobody beats the Wiz. Don't miss the sensational Sharp home entertainment sale at the Wiz. Every Sharp VCR, rack system, portable microwave, and TV is on sale during the sharpest Columbus Week sale ever. Nobody beats the Wiz on the Sharp VHS VCR with Wireless Remote Unreal at $288. On the Sharp high-tech 19-inch color TV with Remote Unstoppable at $299. On the Sharp AM-FM cassette breakaway, unbelievable at $47. Nobody beats the Wiz. Nobody beats the Wiz. The Sharp Columbus Week sale now at all 11 Wiz stores.
Wow.
All 11 Wiz stores.
So, by the way, so if you just saw the addresses there, Billy June, at the end of that commercial, can you, if you pause that screen at the end, it shows where the locations are. The interesting thing is DC had the Wiz too, though. Eventually. Uh-huh. Probably not. That was from 1985. The Wiz in DC probably wasn't until 91, 92, but there were a few in DC. What a dope store, by the way. So, anyways... That was the essence of Nobody, which, by the way, that's also perfect when you think about it, Syf, because the man was such a lunatic with electronics, and no one loved that store probably more than Biz.
Yeah.
He's in there. Yo, the man, also, what is going to happen? I wonder what his family's going to do with his stuff. We're talking about some of the greatest stuff ever collected by any human being. Like, Syph loves stuff.
I love stuff. I love stuff.
I love stuff. Many of you listening love stuff. Nobody, there's not a soul ever in hip hop, music, maybe anything, who has better or more stuff than Biz. The man's been collecting stuff for 35, 40 years.
Well, what kind of stuff? All the stuff.
Okay, let's go over the stuff I know he has.
Yeah.
He has rumored to have over 100,000 records.
Easily.
And you think that's easy?
Easily.
So, an insane amount of records. Yeah, he you know, everything. Toys. Supposed to have the illest toy collection basically imaginable with everything you could ever imagine. His hip-hop electronics, like he told us on the podcast, he had Grandmaster Flash's beat machine. He had like everyone's actual, beat machine.
Not the kind that they use, the actual one that these guys...
But that's just a piece of it because he has everything like that. I mean, save the fact that, you know... One of the last times I saw him, because I realized, man, it's probably been 7 years since I've seen Biz, was I went out to see him DJ Mobile Mondays because he had the 45 1200s.
Yeah, but that is the... he had Technique 1200s, which are the standard hip-hop turntables, and apparently he had the smaller versions that are made specifically for 45 records. And no one can tell me, or it's rumored, or what's the word? It's a mystery. It's a conspiracy. Are they actually made from Techniques, or did he get them made? Because he says Techniques made them, and he's got one of the only few pairs. But then people are like, no way. You got them, you manufactured them yourself, which is both ways is dope. Both ways is fire.
But I saw them in person.
Right.
And if he did them himself, I mean, he made perfect techniques.
But
perfect.
But how hard would it really be if you have the resources, if you have the money and the time, which he had both of, to make those? How hard would it really be?
I don't know. I don't know how I would do it. I couldn't do it. Research. I don't know where to go.
You don't know where to go yet because you haven't sat down and figured out, okay, let's start this process. You know what I mean? Like, it's like my boy Ari, who made the classic Nike Newport Air Force One. And like, I didn't know you could make an Air Force One. There's a way to make, there's some kind of cast or plate or whatever you call this shit, you know what I mean?
Wait, but weren't those weren't real? He just got them, he made them?
What do you mean real?
They weren't Nike.
No, he sued by Nike ridiculously.
He got sued by Nike?
What, are you crazy? The legend.
I didn't know that Ari. I didn't know that.
He's not allowed to own a pair. He has to, it's not enforced as much as it was before, but if he ever saw a pair online, legally he has to buy them so they get out of circulation.
How many did he make?
I don't know, not a lot. I don't even have a pair. I only have the box.
The box is the best part.
The box is the Newport box. Yeah, it's crazy. That's a whole nother episode of Wanna.
So I hear what you're saying. But here's the perfect thing about Biz. Biz had this energy to him of the little kid you knew in school.
Yeah.
Who, when you were like, hey, I really want a hoverboard, he was the little kid who was like, I have a hoverboard.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, you don't.
I got the best hoverboard.
Yes, I do. My cousin in North Carolina gave me the hoverboard. You don't have a cousin in North Carolina who gave you a hoverboard.
Come on.
You
want to
bet? Come on. Yeah, I do. You want to bet? It's at my house right now. Okay, can I come over and see it? No, not today. My mom's busy. You can't come over today. Come over next week. Then next week comes. When am I going to come see that hoverboard? Come come on. You know I got a hoverboard. That was Biz as an adult. But he really had it all. But he had it. He had the stuff, though.
Did it, not always, though. Always?
I don't know. I don't know about always. I don't know. Who knows about always?
I don't know if he always had, because he would say he had a lot of things.
A lot of things, Sife. He said he had everything. He said he had everything. But we do know this, though. Whether he had everything he said he had or most of what he said he had the illest collection in the world of hip-hop stuff.
And if he said he had it, he probably had a line on it. He was probably going to get it eventually.
Right. Or he had it at some point. He hasn't seen it in years, but he knows he has it in one of his houses.
Somewhere, yeah. And also, if you tell him something that he didn't have, he would tell you he had it, and then he would have to go find it.
I speaking of things that I know I have that I can't find, I have to find the picture. I found the picture of me and Biz from when I was 14. Wow. And I found it a year or two ago, and I don't know where it went from when I found it a year or two ago. And I'm very frustrated by this. It's the first time I ever met anyone. He was the first anyone I ever met.
Right, right.
And he was so great. Like, he was just so cool.
I just hooked up my hard drive to find my Biz pictures, which I know I have way more than this. I literally have one picture with Biz. I forgot about the one you posted with us and K-Fox. I have one picture with Biz, and then every other picture in this folder is of the mini Technique 1200s.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you.
Why? Like, of them, like, online?
No,
or
no,
you
him
saw
using
them somewhere?
It somewhere. I didn't take the picture. I don't know where it's from, but he's DJing on it with 45s.
That Billy, this might have to be the cover picture, is Biz with the mini 1200s. I think they're called 800s, if they're real. I think they're called 800s.
They can't be real. Why have seen them since?
Yo, by the way, Techniques, you want to do something dope right now to honor Biz? Put out a run of these joints. Although it might almost be annoying to do it after he's gone. Why didn't they do it? You know how many people would buy these up?
How many? Does it really make sense business-wise?
Well, hold on. If they sold them for $1,000 each.
You'd buy two?
I'd buy two. I'd buy two for sure, 100%.
No, like, not even quite. I got to go get
them. Not even a question.
I have to take $2,000 and go buy these.
You know how much my life would be easier to only use those? In fact, I'd probably put my 12s away because even for Serato, I could use little 45 Serato.
Yeah, Serato 45, yeah.
So you wouldn't even need the big joints. You know how big 1200s are? You know how much they weigh?
Yeah, I mean, they're tanks.
Doesn't Flex have a connection to Techniques? I need to talk to someone about
sure
this. Does.
I'm sure you know tons of people who have connections. All those beat junkie battle guys, they all know Tech.
Yeah, but why has it never happened then? Why would it have been that hard? They couldn't have. I guess they would have needed a minimum starting point of making too many or something. Like, the cost would be so prohibitively expensive that it wouldn't make sense? I don't know.
Yes. I don't know. The popularity of vinyl now.
All right, let's go back. Billy June, pull up the picture. I mean, the video that Sife posted of. It is the last video that Sife sent.
The Roxanne Shanté one?
Yeah. Because we talked about this with Biz, but we didn't play it.
Hello? Oh, I'm doing podcasts. I'll call you back.
Oh, what? See, he's acting more like Biz right now.
Got to, man. Yo, this, hold on, before you play this. Oh, man. We got to put out the visual of this. You got to see this. First of all, the way Biz walks out with, I mean, a Dean confidence. Like, there's no hindrance of what he's about to do. Like, you got to show this.
None.
He walks out onto this stage and then fucking does this body movement that I would be 100% embarrassed to even pretend to do. And it's full confidence. You know what I mean? Like,
no, and also a couple other things to note here. He mentioned in our podcast, so look for it, when he said the Biz Markie hat, that's the hat that he's wearing right here.
And he said he went on tour with Roxanne Shanté and did every song with his mouth.
Right, exactly. The entire tour he did with his mouth. And the hat is important, though, Saif, because that ties right into what you were saying about the confidence and the not being embarrassed. No. He wore the hat until everyone knew who Biz was.
Yeah.
He made sure you knew who he was. First of all, sneaky big dude, right? Yep. Like, Biz, when he was young especially, yeah, was tall and kind of jacked up like a big dude wearing the Biz hat. Let's watch this video of him and Roxanne Shanté from probably 1986.
Now, we came here tonight to
he looks so young.
Yo, how do you even? All right, what we about to do? All right, I'm gonna go out there first. I'm gonna say something. You come out and make ridiculous noises and jerk your body back and forth.
Yo, and Saif, that was light. That was super light. That he said that in the interview that he was at his, you know, in his prime, one of the illest performers ever. And in some of those clips, like the one you sent to the Apollo, you really see, like, because before
him doing the Biz dance in that Apollo one, like,
it's so fire. People
150% of effort.
Why was the Biz dance? Why was the Biz dance so tight?
I don't. Did he? He invented it, right? He had to invent it.
But why is that dance so tight?
I don't know, man.
You're just throwing your arm up and crossing your body, basically, either direction. And yet it's so tight. Now, this first clip you sent, I want to play this too. I don't know exactly when.
I've seen this one before. I've seen the full length version
like,
of this.
Was this like what? Like some like a black expo?
Bro,
or
all shows were weird back then, man. There was no venues. I mean, it's wherever.
And you have to understand, Biz used to get booked for everything. Like in the when we said he became the first celebrity DJ, and Biz moved to Maryland, so Biz was getting booked at every sort of boat ride, black homecoming,
college parties.
He performed in front of presidents, every DNC. He was the original celebrity DJ. There was no D Nice before there was Biz. No, that was not possible to be this level of DJ. So he was getting booked for all kinds of events. And to me, looking at him here, this looks like it's early 90s. Biz performing.
I think because he's rapping over the En Vogue Hold On beat. And I want to say, whenever that song came out, it felt like that song was new at the time and they were rhyming over it. That's what it feels
91,
like.
91, so it's like 91-ish?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear Biz.
Okay, let's deep rap. Let's deep it with the disco, deep rap. Oh, when you know, it's me. Think original, B-R-C-M-O-K. I'm making shake and break and take up. Hey,
8-Ball Jackets.
I sing, crack it, get respected. Never neglected, well protected, and you know, hey.
I ride the microphone down to groovy. It ain't no other MC like Simi. I'm Biz Markie, and you know I'm good. Right about now, I'ma rhyme backwards. Tick tock, oh, go, zoop, 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 zoop. That means black people number one today. And I don't stop. You keep on. You to break it down. Just don't get head dripping the air, y'all. Wave them like you just don't care, y'all. And if you got on clean panties and underwear, let me hear you say, oh yeah.
What the fuck is that?
He's ill, yo. He's oh, he ill.
On that stage, man. His face, ill. His movement, his eyes when he starts rhyming backwards.
He knew. He had that DJ mentality that, like, is something that you have as well. I mean, every good DJ has it to an extent. The, if I do this here,
right,
it's going to work. Yeah. I know it. I've seen it. Same with comedy. I know it. I've seen it. It works. He had that built into... His stage performance, he knew that backwards into black people number one today.
Yeah.
He knew what that was going to do.
Make sure the last bullshit fake backwards word noise I say sounds like day. You know what I mean? Like, black people number one today.
It's so ill, man. There's just so many layers. There's so many layers to what he did. I guess you think about formation of Juice Crew, putting on Big Daddy Kane, becoming one of the street's favorites with Going Off.
The Master Ace song, me and the Master Ace single. Like, how do you make a single about you with someone else and it's a puppet? Why are you doing that, Master Ace?
And by the way, who has the Biz doll? I know we've asked Ace this. Who has the Biz doll?
Who has it?
Who has...
I mean, Biz has to have it, right?
Let's find it. Hold on. I'm gonna see if Ace is around. Yo, Ace...
Oh, last time, I forgot to tell you, last time we talked about Ace and the scratches on Saturday Night Live, both Premier and Ace hit me back after the fact to say, yes, it was DJ Premier. They had the same...
DJ Premier!
They had the same manager at the time. Patrick Moxie.
Patrick Moxie. I just checked my text. The last time I got a text from Master Ace was in November. He just randomly wrote John Gruden to me.
Okay, I don't know who that is. Wait, I don't know.
Which means that he was listening to the Michael Kay show, and we were talking about something relating to John Gruden, I couldn't remember. He's a famous football coach, and so my guess is he just texted me with whatever was with the answer to whatever I was trying to figure out. I wonder who. So then you have.
You got whatever he was doing on his own, battling and all that shit in the back in the day. Then Marley Marl, Juice Crew.
Putting on Kane,
bringing Kane to Marley. And then...
Which, by the way, a perfect thing to do there would be then play... Billy June, play... Play the in the chat. Play the not the last one I sent you, which is the Wiz commercial. Hit the one before that, because Syfe, this right here is one of the hip hop things from TV that are etched in your brain.
Yeah.
Of like when you were first falling in love with hip hop, this is like the things you were picturing, and like this helped shape your entire. This right here, Syfe. Is etched into my brain for what a hip hop video looked like when I first fell in love with it. Hit that, Billy June.
I know exactly. Yep. Wait. Yeah.
Blow it up, Billy June. Blow it up, Billy June.
Radio, TV, and even the press say what's the meaning of VAPOR.
Yo, what shirt is that, Sy?
This word without no doubt. Please nobody wanna be that when you're down and out. Now when you're established and got a lot of money, everybody wanna be your buddy and honey. Like tall buildings they call skyscrapers. Can you feel it? Nothing can save ya, but this is the season of catching the vapors. And since I got time, what I'm gonna do is tell you how they spread it throughout my crew.
Well, you, you all know TJ Swan.
Sing on my records, make the music nobody beats the biz. Well, check it. Back in the days before this began, he used to try to talk to this girl.
Oh, you know what? Pause, pause, Billy June. Yo, when we think about all the fucking classic big sample, biz samples, you know what we don't think about enough? How big the use is there from Biggie of back in the day. Yo, that's the intro to Ready to Die.
Ready to Die is Biz Markie.
Back in the day, in a gangster bizarre. We do, yo, we forgot. All right, keep going, Billy June. By the way, the way, when he says, when he starts introducing the vapors, like on that, in the intro that they have for the video remix, and he's safe, and he talks about his friends. Everyone, when you do, and he talks about his friends doing well, and it shows Kane laying on the lounge chair on the on the boat. Oh God, yo, Sife, where was this boat? They probably rented a boat. This is probably in the Hudson.
Yeah,
this is probably in the Hudson, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, hit play.
Big drug jewelry and extensions in the hair. When Swan tried to kick it, she always best talking about, baby, please, you work for UPS. Since he wasn't no type of big drug dealer, my man TJ Swan.
Yo, hit pause again. Is there a chance, Sife, that UPS reference?
Is there a chance that my mom used to work for FedEx and dated a guy that worked at UPS and used to say that shit to him all the time? 100%. 100%. His name was
Wait,
Frank.
You serious?
No, no, no. And she said the N-word, too. Not the clean version.
Wait, wait. And she would say that to Frank?
On a regular basis. Nigga, please. You work for UPS.
Yo. Yo. Oh, and by the way, do you think that in some ways led to Don't Be Mad, UPS is hiring?
Don't Be Mad, UPS. What is that from again?
Flavin Ear Remix.
Don't be mad. UPS is hiring. I don't know. Maybe.
You're mad because my style you're admiring. Don't be mad. UPS is hiring. Poor UPS. Always catchy in hip-hop records.
Yeah.
It's a good job. It's a good job.
They're killing it right now. All your Amazon packages.
That's UPS. All right. Go ahead, Billy June.
Now he trucks gold and wear Fly Valley boots. Rough leather fashion and tough silk suits. Now she stopped fronting and wants to speak and be coming to all the shows every single weekend. To get his people number, she be begging, please. Dying for the day.
Wow.
TJ Swan,
pause it. Pause it. Pause it. Pause it. Pause it. Pause it. Bro, go back. Billy, can you move back just a little bit?
Like,
literally, my building. Literally, my building is in the fucking background that I never noticed before.
You mean the one that you lived in?
Battery Park City. Right there. Look, not that. To the right of that. Go back a little more. Oh, my God.
Now she stopped fronting and wants to speak and be coming to all the shows.
Watch this.
Every single weekend to get it. Man, TJ Swan didn't appeal to her. But now he trucks.
That's like the little courtyard next to us.
Rough leather fashion and tough silk suits. Now she stopped front.
That's my building right there. That's my fucking building. Wow.
Wait, by the way.
Wow.
Which answers my question. This was one of those little ships, like a little boat you could rent in the Hudson.
It was just looping the Statue of Liberty. It was just doing a loop.
Looping the Statue of Liberty.
Bro.
The girl playing the trumpet. The fake trumpet playing, and TJ Swan pouring his drink on the ground so the girl who used to play him now has to mop it up. Is
also, first of all, I'm pretty sure that sample is a saxophone, but this bitch is playing the trumpet. They always got the horns
90%
wrong
you're right.
In hip-hop videos.
Yep.
Yo, that where I used to live in that building, there would always be boat ride parties. Like, if I was sitting home on a Thursday or Friday night, there'd be like reggae cruises, and you'd hear reggae music going by. Like, it'd come by, and it'd go away, fade out, and then it would come back as they were looping back around. Did you see the Wu-Tang show?
American Crime Saga?
Yeah, American Saga. I just watched it again. You know where he's playing chess with the guy, mm-hmm. and also mm-hmm. where Ghostface and where Divine worked?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he used to go to his office, and that's that thing right there. That's that little area right there.
Easy Ride from Staten Island?
Yeah, the ferry. Yeah, it's a little down more, but yeah, the ferry was right there.
All right, I just want to get to the part in this video.
I don't think that's where actually RZA played chess and Divine worked. It's in the show. I don't think it was actually in that spot.
I want to just get through the part where Biz appears. I want to see Kane appear because I got another partner who's common playing. He goes by the name of the Big Daddy Kane. But you made a very funny point on the Biz episode too about if Big Daddy Kane wrote that, he sure wrote some nice shit for himself. He was like, you know, a story you need to tell? The story about how people were sleeping on Big Daddy Kane. All right, go ahead, Billy.
Oh, wait, sorry. There's somebody there. Billy. I just noticed there is somebody there with a saxophone. The guy right there on the right. He has a saxophone.
Oh, yeah, there you go. He's playing. The other girl, she just grabbed a trumpet. All right, go ahead.
Man, Caesar Swarm didn't appeal to her. But now he trucks gold and wear Fly Valley boots. Rough leather fashion and tough silk suits. Now she stopped fronting and wants to speak and be coming to all the shows every single weekend. To get his deeper number, she be begging please. Yeah. Dying for the day to get skis.
Uh-huh.
She caught the papers. She caught the papers.
That girl with the trumpet. Yo, you can hit pause, Billy June. Yo, man. And also, you know what else I love about Biz? He like had this, it was this mix of very funny in style and goofy. Well before Just a Friend, even in this. Like, he makes the faces. He makes the faces with his mouth and his eyes of like, ah. Oh. But he also rocked the big truck jewelry and had the full hip-hop gimmick all the time.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a gimmick with him though. It was all real.
He was a rapper. He was a rapper making money in those days. I mean, I don't know. I wonder one thing we never in all of our money questions that we love to ask. I never really figured out. Like, I wonder. I guess when he started doing lots of shows, around this time is when he started making at least like a little money. Money enough to cop the jewelry, and he was getting, like, Cold Chillin' was at least giving him advances, right?
I don't know. Everything back then was so shady. But, yeah, shows, you were making money.
Like, you're at least making money to be, like, hood rich. He was making hood rich money at that time.
Yeah, and, like, Biz is universal. So, you know, Biz was getting money everywhere. His records were universal.
But prior to Just a Friend, his biggest records, they were still very hip-hop.
No, hip-hop universal is what I meant back then.
Got it. You mean they were big in L.A. too, you think?
I don't know about West Coast, but yeah, definitely like this side of the Mississippi, like everywhere.
Oh, yeah, he was big in certainly in D.C., yeah, but I was... The thing that's interesting about Biz is, you know, he moved to D.C. so long ago. He became such a, or Laurel, Maryland.
Yeah.
He became such a staple in Maryland. Like, everyone got used to seeing him in Maryland all the time.
Yeah. But, like, even, you know,
he has a lot of places.
Even if you were getting, I don't know how much, $4,000, $5,000 a show. Even if you were getting that, $4,000, $5,000.
Okay.
And you did three shows in the weekend. That's $15,000. It's $12,000.
That's real money.
I'm saying like the money, even though the money was less back then, still if you're charging $10 or $20 to get into a club, it's still money, man. Every weekend.
Sif, I just pulled up. I just pulled up the Biz Markie Who Sampled page.
Okay.
How many times? Just Rhymin' with Biz was sampled 361 times, it says. Now, the beautiful thing about this is this contains both the Kane samples and the Biz samples.
Right.
Because one thing that doesn't get talked about enough when we talk about the main ingredient, half of that album is Biz samples and half is Kane.
But all from the same song.
But almost all from the same song. Almost everyone is from Just Rhymin' with Biz. Here's what they have listed as the ones that come up that we'll easily remember. Although this first one, So What You Want, the Beastie Boys.
Wow.
Billy June, could you pull that up real quick? I feel like, is that used in the buddy can't see, you can't front on that. Is it at the end, maybe? Scratches at the end?
Come on.
We'll get back to that. Boom Bitty Bye Bye, Cypress Hill. MVP by a guy named Big L. This is a song I'm familiar with. You may also be familiar with it. It's called Jump Around, the Pete Rock Bloodstain Remix.
Wow.
Nostalgia, Marco Polo and Master Ace. Shouts to Marco Polo. I love that song. Can't Wait, Redman. Check it out, y'all. Check it out, y'all. I Get Physical, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Rather Unique, AZ.
Yep. Another Pete Rock song.
Think of You, Usher. Oh, yeah, it does have a little scratch sample in that. I forgot that they used a little Hip Hop It Up sample moment. Check It Out, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Don't Curse, Heavy D. Who produced that again, Sif?
That'd be Pete Rock.
Oh, that's right. I Just Want to Chill, Large Professor. I'm skipping over, by the way, the ones that I don't know.
Yeah.
Soul Plan by Lord Finesse. Yes, Y'all by Heavy D. I think that's also Pete Rock. Ooh, here's a good one. I remember this one. Next Level, Alcoholics and Diamond D.
Fire.
That used it heavy. Yeah. That used it as a big part of it. Legend Has It by Run the Jewels. Now, The Natural, Mike Geronimo.
We're saying he had publishing on this.
Yes. These are listed as, I mean, these are officially, you don't know what officially got picked up, but these are ones that it's been acknowledged on Who Sampled. So someone just put it in.
I just want to make sure Biz had publishing on these.
I don't know which ones he had the public. Like, because remember, he made it sound in our episode like Pete Rock was kind of just good because of Marley.
Nah. Still, though.
But that was Elektra. Elektra had to handle it.
Yeah, or whoever owns the publishing deal or whatever. They're not just letting that slide.
It's so clear. I went back and listened to Main Ingredient yesterday. And Just Rhymin' with Biz is on 75% of the songs on the album. It's so clear that Pete, we got to ask him, but he just had the samples in his machine. You're right. Just as little instruments to just play.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, oh, this beat's good. Let me add this. And he just kept playing it as pieces on everything.
Yeah.
The Natural, Mike Geronimo. Here's a great one that I love. The Saga Begins, Rakim. Hip Hop Ride, The Youngsters. This is crazy. It says Strong Island by JVC Force. That sampled that all the way back then.
Right. It sounds like it was out. It feels like it was out before that.
Direct sample, vocal and lyrics. It's 1987. It's like the same time. Master IC, Mike Geronimo. In the Flesh, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Believe That, Gangstar. Move, J Dilla. Here Today, Gone Tomorrow, Gangstar. Ghettos of the Mind, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Actual Facts, Lord Finesse. Blue Funk, Heavy D. Quiet on the Set, NWA. Main Ingredient, Pete Rock. Koflow, Time for Some Action, Redman. When I'm Flowing, Rakim, also produced by Pete Rock.
like Time for Some Action, Redman, like Time for Some Action is a very specific sample of How I Could Just Kill a Man, Cypress Hill. Time for some action. Where is this other part that has just rhyming with Biz? Like you had to have another sample in there?
But do we not remember where that is? You don't remember?
No, do you?
No, Billy, play Time for Some Action. We're going to find, I want to, it,
like,
it's
because
be,
you don't need it. But it was just well, so, it's just so ingrained in hip hop.
I was going to say, but that's what gets to the essence of
it's
who Biz is.
Spice, yeah.
He's part, he's the fabric of hip hop. Yeah. His voice, him and Kane's voices from that record, when you hear that, everything about the voice quality, it's like, oh, it just makes it even better. Pull up Time for Some Action, Billy June. Let's hear that.
Okay, what we're going to do here today, Redman, is we're going to bring some of that unnecessary anger out your system. Focus your mind.
Yo, Redman's so young here, yo.
Mind you, I just watched. Oh, I know what it is. I know exactly what it is. Keep playing. Right there. Yeah. Lights, camera.
Yes, camera, action. Yo, oh, yeah.
I just watched the Red and Meth versus on a plane.
Hey, wait, yeah. I have something for you guys.
Oh, okay.
That I heard last night. And I'd never heard it before, but I think you're going
to
like it.
I want to start taking bets. We need to do One Up Live where we can take bets on the relevance of what Billy June is about to say.
Billy June, you sure you wanted to weigh on this episode of all episodes? Like this is a time
it's related.
Where people could
okay.
really
it's something that I don't know if you've okay. heard before. I didn't hear it till last night.
Oh, you didn't hear it. Well, that means me and Sife definitely haven't heard it because we're all the same. The
and
three wanna, of us
and
are
who,
all.
And where'd you hear it from?
I was at a bar.
And who said it?
A DJ played it.
Okay, go ahead.
DJ played it. All right. I guess he didn't listen to the One App then, Sife.
Fuck.
Keep playing it. We still want that. You don't want to cut it off now. We're just telling you you're.
It was on for less than 2 seconds. I'm just going to cut this all out. I didn't get to listen to it yet.
Wait, we want to hear it now,
what?
Though, Billy June.
What are you
June,
talking about?
It.
What are you saying?
Shut up and play what you were just playing. Thank you. All right, Billy June, pause that. Now do this. Search on while you're right there, search on YouTube for Biz Markie Beastie Boys. Yeah, just keep it like that though. Just do that exactly. It's already there. I want to see what else comes up. Ooh. Look at that. Beastie Boys with Biz Markie do it live at Tibetan Freedom Concert. I was there, by the way. Keep going down though.
What is this? Discuss Biz versus. What is that? Nudge?
Biz versus Nudge? Let's hear that. Let's see what that is. Beastie Boys and Biz discuss.
Mardi Gras. You know a dude named Mr. C. Fat Mardi Gras gave it to Flash. Gave Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Who knew to rhyme off that or cut that back to
but it's as though he made it for them.
Yeah.
Bob James made it for them. So you know what? You do a nice little drum roll at the beginning. Nice little beat, you know? Or, but just enough.
Yeah, for every
not
two
too much, just enough.
No, not a good one with 7 minutes of funk. Poof, poof. How do you know the.
That's what I was trying to tell you about that. The Ted Nugent record. We've all had the Ted Nugent record for years, but we never would have thought. I wouldn't have thought to do that if you didn't.
Yeah. We're going to do it right now.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to record it. So you saying that y'all had that all the time? I had that record too.
But I never, yeah.
I had it too.
That was my favorite record on it. Rare. So when I listened to it again, like I was listening to it, I said, yo, I can act like they coming back home from space or something. They coming back to do a show. So when I did it, rare nails ain't coming home, right? And after that, I said, yo, I gotta call y'all. I mean, your phone kept being busy. Called you, your phone kept being busy. So I kept calling down. Finally got y'all on the phone. You understand? It's some things that comes up.
It just happens.
Like, I made the greatest trade of all time. I traded Barbra Streisand, Star Is Born Out. You don't got a beat on it, right?
Yeah, well, that's an easy record. It's
I'm thinking of that Midler record.
Right?
Okay. Yo, that is gold.
If you, okay, I don't know why you would ever search for that. You know, if you're searching for Biz, you probably want to hear a song. Or that conversation with him and the Beastie Boys was a Biz conversation that he would have.
Of all time.
Always.
All the time.
Always.
Always.
Every conversation you had with Biz was, no, I had that, or I got that.
Wait. Some I kind traded of for this. And then you know what song's on there.
And like those are all little tests. You know what beat's on there, right? Like he's gonna like test your music skills, test your DJ skills. Are you?
And by the
you,
way, Syph and I are terrible at that. I hear it and I'm like, what? I don't even know what song. I probably would if you were playing the song. Even though what you're doing sounds amazing, I'm not. I can't put it together. Yo, that only has 20,000 views. That video there. That's like such a random little gem right there.
That is the best depiction of Biz I've ever seen in a fly on the wall normal Biz situation. You know what I'm saying? Because even when he's doing interviews, he's, you know, when you do an interview, you project a little more. You're kind of performing. That was the realest Biz shit I ever saw, not in person.
And it looks like they were, the Beastie Boys were already wearing their in-ears, so they're about to go on stage, and they were just having. Yo, but that was so crazy, man. He did so much shit with the Beastie Boys. Yo, how much shit did Biz do with De La?
I don't know. They were just like, I saw a video yesterday, Plug One put up, or Maceo, with them with Biz, like, I guess that was like the Long Island connection. I don't know, man.
It says that he was on Lovely How I Let My Mind Float.
But is it? But did he just? Did they ask him to come? Did he just pop up as soon as you saw him? Did you want to put him on a song? Like, I wonder how it worked.
And you know what else? You know what? You could never. We got to wrap here in a minute. And this episode's been hard because I'm just trying to. You know, it's like how do you tell the whole story of someone who's this important has such personal meaning to both of us and to so many people? I wanted to do it in a way that was at least somewhat upbeat, and not be super sad about this. Even though it is super sad, and there's a reality. Here we go, Billy June. I just sent you something. There's a reality, Syph, that we have to accept that, like, yes, people die too young, but also as the years go on and as the culture gets bigger and bigger, it's like, this is very sad and dark, I'm sorry, but it's like people who have 15 kids. If you have two kids and God forbid one of the children die, it's a shock and it should never, ever happen. If you have 15 kids, unfortunately, something's going to happen to a couple of kids.
Oh, it's just a numbers game.
It's just numbers game.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at with hip hop. As the years go on and it's people get older and there's, so when everyone keeps saying, yo, man, why 2020? Why? It's going to be 21 and 22 and 23. It's the cult. Yeah, it's like, so big. We have so many people now. There's so many people we love.
And bro, like, Yo, niggas ain't healthy, man. People are not living this healthy life, me included. Like, not healthy. He's not. He wasn't healthy. He looked horrible, man. And we all just accepted it because he's Biz. And also, what can we do? Nobody listens. You know what I mean?
I know. When you see him when he was young, he was such a naturally in shape looking kind of dude.
He died. It was diabetes related, right?
Yeah.
The same as Patrice O'Neal. Like, what do you say? Hey, you're fat. Stop eating that. You can, what? Like, it doesn't work.
I wonder what. And he said that he lost at some point like 100 pounds.
So did Pun.
Well, I just said we tried to do a good job all day keeping it upbeat. Nah, look at you. Look what you just did.
I know. I just, I'm so happy. Like, again, like that little.
No, but hold on. I don't want to go past what you just said, though. It is true. We all of us, as I eat my way through Texas, all of us need to do a better job. You know, at least, you know, keep finding some consistency. You're like a fucking rubber band man.
Bro, the up and down is crazy.
Your pictures, you go through your pictures and you have to guess what era you're in based in what weight you are. But now you've repeated weight in different eras. That was thin three. That was thin three. That was fat four.
Yo, real quick, last night, first of all, I didn't even get to talk about this. I want to talk about it. I got to open up for Talib Kweli at the Blue Note.
Ooh.
Which was like, bro, I go over, you know, the Blue Note is right across the street from the Comedy Cellar. So I know Kweli's there. So I'm like, I'm going to try to get in. I'm going to walk over and see if I can get in. I text Kweli. He gets me in. I go upstairs, and it's real rap show vibes, like just talking all rap, talking rap show, what we used to do back in the day, carrying crates, Black Star, da-da-da-da-da. Then he goes, yo, you want to do 5 minutes before we go up? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I do comedy every day. I don't give a fuck. And then it's like 2 minutes before I hit the stage, and I'm like, this is the fucking Blue Note. Like, the jazz legendary arena. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I only ever been in there once before because Robert Glasper was there when it first opened back up. And Dave, I just happened to be coming out of the cellar when Chappelle was walking in. So I just ran over and walked in with Chappelle. And that's the first time. And I only stayed for like 5 minutes because it was so packed. Bro, I fucking opened up for Talib Kweli at the Blue Note. And it's like, yeah, Talib's my man. Blue Note's right there. And as I was leaving, I was like, yo, this is some legendary shit right here. Like,
yeah,
legendary. Then this guy ruins it. I'm walking back to my car. He's like, yo, Rosenberg. Yo, Pete, Rosenberg, you ain't going to say what's up.
Now you can't make me look bad.
Now I turn around. I go, do I fucking look Jewish? Huh? Nah, Rosenberg, chill. Chill, Rosenberg.
Wait, did you ever correct him?
No, he was pissing me off. He's like, come on, Rosenberg, don't be like that. I was like, all right, man. He's like, yo, you going to see me soon? I was like, yeah, I'm going to see you soon. And I go, Rosenberg, out.
So you got me beef now. I got beef with this guy.
Oh,
yo, that's
my
hilarious.
God. You seen that? Right. We got to go. You seen that guy that does that thing, bass and bars, that bass player, and he'll play the song with all the rappers rapping to it?
Yeah, Brady Watt?
Yeah, he's Kweli's bass player.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He
that makes sense.
He fucking murdered it, yo. He's phenomenal. The whole band was phenomenal.
Do you tell Kweli, yo, why don't you have Rosenberg on your podcast?
It didn't come up.
Damn.
It didn't come up.
It's okay.
It didn't come up. On People's Party?
Yeah.
It didn't come up.
I'm still trying to push this album. Real late. Available everywhere right now still.
Well, I pushed it definitely to those guys that harassed me.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Sounds like you dissed them.
All right, we got to go, man.
All right, let's close it out with... there's so many songs you could play that Biz's voice is the essence of the song, but I don't know if it's much more than this. So,
rest in peace.
On the way up, Billy June also... let's close out with this song, and then bring in the end of Juan Epp, bring in the part of Juan Epp where Biz talks about checking in with people, and then edit that seamlessly, Billy June, edit that into when at the end of the episode I tell him how much we tell him how much we love him and how great he is, because I'm glad we got to do that on the podcast, even though Syfe called me a pussy for saying it.
No, I gotta do it.
All right, man. Thank you guys for being here with us today. I know it was kind of weird.
Come
on.
The funny thing is, real quick, I know we got to go.
I just ended it right now.
I know, but I just want to say, this is after the, you know, encore. I'm back on stage.
Okay.
This episode, like, if you want to know the history of all that shit of Biz, listen to the last episode from the old one app. That's where you'll get all, like, the information, the history, the Marley Mall, the Kane, all that shit, which is great. This is, like, nobody can do this the way we do it. I just want to give myself some props, man.
Yo, Miss Syfe, you deserve those props.
Nobody can do this the way we just did it, man, because we're
you
so...
You mean nothing.
No, it's not nothing. It's the realest. We don't have to fucking go do... We didn't look at Wikipedia once. This is what we know about Biz. This is our personal experience, shit we've heard. We in the fucking hip-hop zeitgeist.
Which, by the way, and that's an important thing to... I was thinking about that yesterday with Biz and thinking about how many different memories kept coming to my head. And I was like, oh, yeah, there was that time. Oh, yeah, there was that time. Oh, yeah, I forgot when he was on Hip-Hop Squares. Oh, I forgot when... And I was like, man, I'm so blessed.
Blessed.
What an incredible...
I forgot about Hip-Hop Squares.
What a run that we've gotten to have, to be both of us in our different ways to cross paths with him so many times to where we knew him. Like, he's important. Man. All right, Billy June, take us out, man. And I love you. We love you, Biz.
Fuck it. I'll do it live.
I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party.
How much Kane's a few years younger than you?
Yeah, younger.
Do you guys still talk?
Yeah, that's my man.
Like, regularly, it's not unusual.
That's my man. Crazy.
Who else do you talk to?
I talk to everybody.
Talk to Marley?
Yeah,
I even call you, don't I?
You do? He does call me.
I call everybody.
Why is that? Why are you like that? You just seem like someone who stays in touch with everyone.
We not stay in touch with everyone because every day is not guaranteed to you. And I don't want to be one of them that be like, yo, I should have called him or so, yo.
That's me.
It's too short.
Hey, Biz, we can't thank you enough. We love you. If people, listen... No one ever tells the legends until it's too late. Hip hop, we love you. You made the culture. You're one of the spices that made this culture wonderful and brought it to tons of people. And everyone thanks you. People are going to be so excited to hear this, man.
This is why, listen, I agree with what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But the way you say it
so gay.
Is why the competition calls you a pussy, man.
We're on the podcast.
But that sounded like you was going to... Give him a reach around.
Let me finish. And I'd like to blow you. Does that make it better? If I say it?
I mean, if you got to finish up.
If you got to finish up. No, but come on. We always celebrate, guys.
You're right.
Biz is amazing, man.
Yeah, you're right. You did that.
And not only that, aside from all the jokes and the fun, if you would stop just after going off, your contribution could have been done. That's a classic. Let alone the fact that your voice has made so many other songs classic. Like you said, the main ingredient doesn't even exist. It would just be an instrumental.
I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party out. I'm about to wreck your body against they turn a party.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.